Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Fighting Priests. My name is Father Ted Paraskevopoulos, and my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, is still away. As you all may remember from the last episode when I gave everybody an update, Father Thomas got some really good news. He was assigned to his very first parish as the head priest. The parish is called St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church out in Alberta, in Calgary, Alberta, which is in central Canada. And so Father Thomas and his wife Ashley and their brand new little daughter, Sophia, have been busy kind of moving there and taking over the parish. And he's being acclimatized to that new life. And so he's taking a little bit of a break from the podcast, but we do hope to have him back soon. He is doing very well there, and the community loves him very much. So many greetings from Father Thomas. And we hope to hear back from him and have him back on the podcast very soon. So today, I was thinking about exploring a new topic that we haven't discussed before, and that is the topic of hierarchies, more specifically, the value of hierarchies. You know, as an Orthodox Christian and as an Orthodox priest, of course, I work within a structure of a hierarchy. The Orthodox Church is a hierarchy. And what I mean by that is that there are, you know, different kind of structures put in place that have developed over the centuries from the time of Christ, the last 2,000 years. There are hierarchies within the clergy. So we have like a threefold hierarchy. You know, there's deacons, there's priests, and there's bishops. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. And even within lay people, there are lay positions within the church. There's, you know, people who serve in the altar boys. There are chanters, there are choir directors, there are catechists, there are different people within the hierarchy of the church, and there are board members. There are ladies, philoptochos, which is the philanthropic arm of the church. There are all these different structures that exist within the church, they are all there to serve a purpose, to be able to serve their fellow human beings and for the good order of the church and the community. And there is also a very clear hierarchy and a very clear structure in the world of jiu-jitsu, right? There is the belt system. There is the idea of the instructor or the sensei or the professor, depending on you know, what term you use for the person who teaches you, the black belt that teaches you. And there is a structure there of how someone is promoted, somebody moves up through the ranks of jiu-jitsu, and the ritual that kind of encircles that whole world. So there are very clear structures and hierarchies within jiu-jitsu. There are clearer structures and hierarchies within the Orthodox Church. And the reason why kind of this topic or theme came to mind was, this kind of podcast that I came across, or rather it was a video from a podcast from, you know, a very well-known actor, Russell Brand. He's an actor and a comedian. He's English. He's from Great Britain. And many of you might have heard of him or seen his movies or listened to him. And he is kind of a very interesting character. He's a person who has gone through a lot of changes in the last, 15 years of his life. He is a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. He speaks a lot about philosophy and about personal spirituality and meditation. Of course, he's not an Orthodox Christian, but he does have a lot of interesting things to say. So I kind of came across a video from one of his podcasts from when he got promoted to blue belt in his jiu-jitsu journey. So he's a jiu-jitsu practitioner. He has found great value in it. And he is now a purple belt, but this video is from a couple of years ago when he got his blue belt, and he was talking about the experience. What I found interesting is that for a person like Russell Brand, who usually is not a big fan historically of structures and of hierarchy, of government, of big institutions, things like that, he found the kind of the structure and the ritual and the hierarchy that exists within jiu-jitsu was actually very valuable, and he was kind of surprised by that. And so that's what struck me as well. Because, you know, we kind of live in a society today where the current trend is to kind of tear down hierarchies, right? We see this in the media. We see this all over the place now that politically and culturally, there is a shift now against kind of like institutions, traditional hierarchies. They are seen as negative. They are seen as bad. They are seen as oppressive. They are seen as something to be kind of abolished in favor of, I guess you could say, individualistic freedoms devoid of any type of structure. And this is a very, very dominant trend within our modern society. And so I was really struck that somebody like Russell Brand would kind of find value in hierarchy and structure and in discipline through jujitsu. And of course, as an Orthodox priest and as an Orthodox Christian, I find great value within structures of the church and of also other institutions that are valuable. Not all institutions and not all structures and not all hierarchies are oppressive. Not all of them are unjust or, stifle growth or expression. In many cases, they actually help personal expression and personal growth to flourish much more rapidly. So, you know, we're going to explore this topic today. Join me in kind of exploring some of the words of Russell Brand and also finding the parallels between the hierarchies of orthodoxy and jujitsu. Let's dive right in.
The process of getting it is amazing too. It's very, very ritualized ceremony. First, they give the blue belts their belts. You stand up, you receive it, you shake hands. Then the purple belts, then the brown belts, then the black belts, then the black belts with stripes. And the black belts give a little speech. I was hoping to give a little speech myself. I've read a few words, but it's very sort of structured and hierarchical. I was very interested because there were a lot of people that were from different religious backgrounds, Eastern European people, Muslim people from different class backgrounds, different sexes. And there's something unifying about the clear hierarchical structure of a jiu-jitsu class that brings people together in a safe way.
So that was Russell Brand talking initially about, you know, his first impressions of, you know, the belt ceremony of receiving his blue belt, right? And so for those of you who don't know, you know, blue belt is kind of like the first major promotion you'll ever experience within jiu-jitsu, because there are five belts in the, you know, belt system of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. There's white, there's blue, there's purple, there's brown, and then there's black, right? So, of course, white belt, there is no ceremony because, you know, that's the belt you get when you walk into the dojo. You know, when you sign up, you get a white belt. And while there are, you know, usually in, you know, some dojos, there are 4 degrees on the white belt. You know, there are also some clubs that they don't have any degrees on white belt. They just go straight to blue belt. But in most places, there are stripes on white belts now. Those are kind of smaller kind of acknowledgements of the progress within the belt, that level. And so it's not as big as the actual promotion to blue belt. So that's like your first big promotion. And it's very important for many people. It marks a decisive turn in the jiu-jitsu journey. So he's talking about his experience of that, and how much he really he found that kind of the structure, the hierarchy, includes everybody, right? So, you know, when we think about hierarchy, we hear that word, a lot of times we think of kind of like levels or, you know, kind of like some kind of structure where that would separate people, you know, that would separate people into different levels of maybe privilege or of, I would say, competency, right? So there's people who have achieved a certain level of competence, for whatever the particular structure is, right? So in jiu-jitsu, we have the different belts, and each belt represents a level of competence within the jiu-jitsu world, within the capability of executing the technique that is required at that level, right? So when we hear about hierarchies, we think about people being separated. But Russell Brand here, in this kind of first clip that I played, he's actually talking about how this structure, you know, this set of rules, this criteria is applied to everybody across the board, regardless of who they are. He sees it as an equalizer, not as a separator, as something that divides people, but rather it is this kind of like, you know, set of rules, this set of achievements, this kind of criteria that is applied to everybody, regardless of who they are, what their cultural background is, what their religious background is. It doesn't matter what their class background is, you know, whether they're rich or poor or middle class, whatever. Everybody is, you know, subject to this, hierarchy, to this, set of criteria. And so he found that actually quite liberating. He found that quite equalizing and a beautiful thing. I would happen to agree with that, you know, as an Orthodox priest, you know, from us, like from the Christian point of view, you know, again, people don't think of it like this, but, you know, the faith itself, like Christianity, when we speak about Christianity, is the equalizer, right? I know a lot of people, when they hear about Orthodoxy, they hear Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or Serbian Orthodox, Ukrainian, whatever. Like, we have these kind of like different cultural jurisdictions that exist within the Orthodox world. And so people who are not Orthodox, you know, who are maybe looking into Orthodox Christianity, a lot of times they get caught off guard by the kind of like the cultural label that is placed in front of the Orthodox, you know, and they think that, you know, Orthodoxy, you know, in order to be an Orthodox Christian, you have to be Greek or you have to be Serbian or you have to be Russian or whatever it is. And that's not true. You know, the fact that we are separated amongst cultural lines, at least administratively, is a product of history, a product of the way, you know, for example, Europe, especially Eastern Europe, was freed under the from the Ottoman Empire from 400 years under the Turks, and the way kind of churches were set up politically and nationally. But that's has nothing to do with the faith. The faith itself, like Christianity, is a unifying factor. It doesn't matter what you are, where you come from, what your class structure is. Anybody can become an Orthodox Christian. Anybody can become a Christian. Anybody can be a member of the church. And when we're in the church, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, I know some people feel that this is not true, or they feel that there is, you know, maybe preference to people, let's say, who are more powerful or people who have more money or whatever. But according to the main tenets of the faith, nobody is separated within the body of Christ, right? So it doesn't matter who you are, you're a Christian first, and then you are Greek, then you are Russian, then you are Canadian, then you are rich or poor or middle class or whatever you are. It doesn't matter what you are. You are the same, and we are all the same in the eyes of God. And so in the same way, on the mats, it doesn't matter who you are. We are all the same. And all that matters in the jiu-jitsu world is your ability to be able to execute the technique at a certain level, right? So, you know, a blue belt, you know, it doesn't matter what their background is, they are a blue belt because they can all do, or they can all execute more or less the same techniques effectively, right? Same thing with a purple belt, a brown belt, and a black belt, right? So this is kind of like a really, really interesting point that Russell Brand kind of brought out, that the hierarchy kind of equalizes everything, makes everything the same, everything fair. There's a level and fair playing field, right? Everybody adheres to the same rules, and there is no separation based on identity or on gender or on background, right? And that is something that is quite beautiful, you know, because there is this kind of objective criteria on, you know, what you are doing when you're practicing jiu-jitsu. And, you know, of course, there is also, I would say, somewhat of an objective criteria on what we are doing when we try to be, you know, good Orthodox Christians. You know, there are certain things we try to do, like showing kindness, like having love for our fellow human beings, charity, compassion, forgiveness, all these kind of universal truths. They apply to everybody. Doesn't matter who they are, from the most powerful people in society to the people who are the weakest in society, who have the least amount of power. We are all called to cultivate these types of virtues. So this was something that, you know, I really found interesting from listening to Russell Brand's podcast.
In a jiu-jitsu class, we all recognize that we all have attributes, deficiencies, that when we walk through that door, as one person said on receiving a stripe in his black belt, we all come through the door for different reasons, but we're all the same once we're in here. I can't say when someone's got me in a rear naked choke, "Don't you remember what I used to do, big brother?" You know, no one cares, do they? They might care. I do try and use various forms of distraction, eye contact, the use of charm, but it's meaningless on the mat.
So I really love that that little sound clip there about, you know, Russell Brand kind of expanding on this idea that everybody is equal on the mat, right? So yeah, like as soon as everybody kind of comes to the door in jiu-jitsu, no one cares what your status is outside, right? And so now you have to focus on, you know, the task that at hand. I think this is really, really important point as well. And, you know, very, very relevant to, you know, the faith, the Orthodox faith. Because, you know, this is kind of a point that makes people really uncomfortable, right? We tend to think in, you know, kind of in terms of privilege, in what sense that, you know, we have ego, all of us have ego, all of us have pride, and we all kind of tend to, you know, be influenced by that, you know. So if I come from like an influential family, you know, I expect to have respect even though I may not have earned it. Or maybe I have earned it in the outside world. Maybe I am, you know, a powerful politician, or maybe I'm a professor at a university, or maybe I am a doctor, or maybe I have, you know, I am in a profession that has required a lot of work from me and I've had a lot of achievements over the years. And so, you know, I have a certain prestige and I expect people to recognize that. So, you know, a lot of times people, you know, come from a prestigious background and then they walk into the jiu-jitsu club and sometimes they forget that nobody cares what your achievements are in the outside world. When you're on the mats, you have no achievements except the ones that you have been able to prove to your professor and to the other and to your other, you know, friends who are you're rolling with and who you're you know, you're training with. So, you know, everything else on the outside has nothing to do with what you're doing in jiu-jitsu. In the same way, in the church, it's the same thing. So in the church, everybody is the same. Nobody should receive preferential treatment. And we are all held to the same standard, to the same account for, you know, our actions. This is, you know, this is seen very clearly in, for example, the great sacrament of confession, right? Like, you know, everybody should be going to confession in their lives, right? It doesn't matter who they are. Everybody, you know, are required to, you know, confess their sins, not because, you know, they have offended God or because, you know, they owe anything to God or to the church or to the priest, but rather everybody needs healing. It doesn't matter who they are, right? Everybody needs to kind of be accountable to somebody to be able to grow spiritually. And so, you know, even within the church, you know, like even the patriarch, you know, the head, the top guy, you know, the head of the church, at least in our jurisdiction, even the patriarch has to go to confession to somebody else, right? So nobody's above the system, the hierarchy, you know, kind of this system that we have that helps us grow. Everybody has to go through it. So all Orthodox Christians, for example, are expected to fast. All Orthodox Christians are expected to attend services. All Orthodox Christians are expected to practice charity and love and forgiveness. You know, all Orthodox Christians are expected to participate in the sacramental life of the church. It doesn't matter who you are. Nobody is exempt from it. Nobody is better than the other person. This is a very important thing. Now, when you get rid of, you know, this kind of hierarchy or structure, ironically, you know, people would say, well, if we get rid of structures, we get rid of hierarchies, and basically we are, you know, just a kind of completely individualistic, free of any type of restriction, free of any type of criteria imposed upon us, then that is real freedom. The problem with that is that if there is no criteria by which we measure ourselves against or up to, then there is no striving. There is no growth, right? So like, you know, for example, let's look at the jiu-jitsu world. If I, you know, came into a structure where there is no structure and it's like, okay, whatever you think you should learn, you can learn. Whenever you think you're ready for a promotion, you choose it. Whenever, you know, you feel you know enough, you can stop training or you can stop, you know, pushing yourself. If it's completely subjective, then most of the time what human beings tend to do is they tend to fall into self-delusion because we often either think too highly of ourselves, that we overestimate our abilities, or sometimes if we are depressed or we're feeling bad or we have any type of, you know, kind of psychological baggage from the past, we undervalue ourselves, right? So we think we're actually worse than we actually are. But rarely are people wise enough and well-balanced enough and self-aware enough to see themselves as they truly are, where they're at, and to, you know, to know exactly what they are and what they are not. And this is why we have mentors in life. This is why we have teachers. teachers, professors, spiritual fathers, guides, even in different religions, there's other different types of mentoring that exist, so that we have an objective kind of like external force, external person, external criteria that helps keep us on track so that we don't fall into self-delusion, right? So, in jiu-jitsu, this is your professor. You know, you don't choose when you're ready. The professor chooses when you're ready. You don't choose when you get a stripe or when you get a belt. The professor knows when you are ready to do this and when you're ready to do that. This cultivates humility. It cultivates obedience. It cultivates a striving not to please your professor or instructor, but rather to strive towards, a common goal that everybody is held to, a standard that everybody is held to. So, this is kind of like the great value of structure and hierarchy, not all hierarchies are bad. Not all hierarchies are evil. Not all hierarchies are oppressive, but rather they can also elevate the person. They can also build them up. So this is something, that... I think Russell Brand is emphasizing here. But let's listen to him again in this final clip, because I think he kind of really hits the nail on the head when he talks about kind of the value of the structure itself.
I realized from attending that ceremony that there are such things as positive hierarchies and structures, as long as it's tied to fairness, responsibility, and duty. I have found a sort of a journey into myself, acceptance of my fallibility and humility, and conversely, a kind of confidence as well. But what it's teaching me primarily is not to be fixated on results, but to instead recognize what I am becoming. That it doesn't matter if I'm externally validated in some way. What matters is the journey that I'm taking and what I am becoming, something that I always avoided, I'm now embracing.
Fairness, responsibility, and duty. Those are really, really key concepts, right? The value of the hierarchy, at least according to Russell Brand, is that, the hierarchies are not always bad as long as they are tied to kind of this idea of fairness, responsibility, and duty, right? So it is what the hierarchy is, what values the hierarchy is promoting that, distinguishes it from whether it's a good hierarchy or a bad hierarchy, right? So hierarchies themselves are not bad. Structures themselves are not bad. It is what they are promoting that, kind of tells us whether they're good or bad, or whether they have value, they have utility, right? So, this is kind of like the final and last point that I wanted to talk about today. And I think probably the most important one that, the problem we have today is that we, in if you go back in time, if we go back to even like, let's say 20 years ago or even 30 years ago, I would say that people had more of a common idea of what the good is. So what is good? What are good values? What are kind of common values that our society holds? What are the virtues, right? Like, what are common virtues that we would all agree with? Is humility a good common virtue? Is kindness a good common virtue? Is freedom, for example, freedom of speech, a good common virtue? What are the values, the common values that we kind of hold dear as a society? And once we have those kind of values, once we kind of we all agree on certain virtues and values that are estimable and very and worth seeking out, then we can kind of say, well, these structures promote these values and these structures do not promote these values. The problem with what in my opinion is with our kind of modern society and where we're going and the cultural shift that exists today is that we no longer, or not as a whole of a society in the Western world at least, we no longer agree upon a core set of values, right? There's such a difference and a plethora of opinion on what kind of these universal values and virtues are that we can no longer agree on what the goal is, what the ultimate values that we want to cultivate are, and also therefore we cannot agree upon any type of structures or hierarchies that promote such values, right? So, if we, for example, don't agree that, everybody should have an equal voice in society, for example, free speech, which is something that is very, very, very contentious issue today. Some people believe in free speech. Other people believe that it should be curtailed. Other people believe that there are limits, and more and more as we go on, I think that more limits are being discussed on free speech. There's some things you can say, some things you can't say. And the list of the things that you can't say is actually growing and growing for fear of offense and things like that. So, you know, this idea of free speech, if free speech is something that we no longer agree upon, then of course, structures or institutions, even things, for example, like here in Canada, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, in the States, the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, then those kind of structures, those documents, those kind of traditions and institutions, they become attacked because they no longer support what people consider to be the common virtue or the common goal, the common values that a society wants to grow towards. So, after that kind of long-winded commentary that I just did, how does that apply to jiu-jitsu? Well, you know, in jiu-jitsu, there is kind of a common goal, and that is, of course, to learn and to be able to be effective in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu technique. This is the common goal. And of course, there are also values that come along with that, of fairness, of sportsmanship, of respect, of humility. All those kind of values are intertwined within Jiu-Jitsu. And everybody who participates in that world of Jiu-Jitsu kind of accepts these values and understands that these are the values that, we are trying to cultivate within ourselves by doing jiu-jitsu. In the same way, those people who kind of accept Orthodox Christianity, and they get baptized, whether they are children, they grow up in it, or whether they are adults and they convert and they become Orthodox Christians, they too are kind of seeking out a specific type of lifestyle. So they want to cultivate specific types of values. And so they submit themselves to a particular type of hierarchy or structure that will help them cultivate those goals, right? It's the same way when we work out, for example, right? Like if we have a goal, I want to be healthy. I want to, for example, run a marathon. You know, as somebody who trained many years ago, when I was living in Winnipeg, I trained for the Manitoba Marathon. You know, I wanted to be able to run a marathon, right? I wanted to be able to run, those 23 miles, and I needed to do a certain amount of things to reach that goal. So I had to subject myself to a certain structure, a certain regiment of training that would heed create those results within me, aka running, eating right, boosting up my cardio, things like that. So I had to do a certain amount of things to be able to. And the thing is, there is a structure there of training for a marathon, of being able to prepare oneself. And you can't just wake up one day and run a marathon without a proper training, a regiment, a proper structure. And so in the same way, in the spiritual life, we have a 2,000-year-old Christian tradition that is tried, tested, and true. It's been experimented. The experiment has been done, I guess you could say. And these kind of traditions that we have by prayer, fasting, participation in the sacraments, all these kind of things that we do, they are tried, tested, and true ways by which we cultivate, the virtues by which, we call ourselves Orthodox Christians, right? So again, it's a hierarchy, it's a structure, but it is one that has value for the people who are engaging within it, right? So the hierarchy always has value if it brings about the goals that we are seeking. And I think that is the main kind of takeaway that I took from, Russell Brand's, thoughts on this. Kind of coming into our final thoughts today, another thing that Russell Brand had mentioned, and I failed to say in the last section to comment on, was at the very end of the last clip we played, he spoke about how there is a joy and great value not fixating on results, but rather focusing on the journey of becoming. And that's really, really interesting because that really resonates with me as an Orthodox Christian, and I think it should resonate with Orthodox Christians in general, because we often say this in the Orthodox Church, that it is not, the goal, what is the goal of the Christian life? The goal of the Christian life is to become one with God, to have a relationship with God. It is not heaven in the selfish sense, because, a lot of people, they say, why be a good person? Why be a Christian? Oh, so I can go to heaven and not go to hell. Well, that's not the point. The point is that heaven, at least in the deeper, deeper sense, is not, you know, the place that you go that has clouds and harps and music and all this kind of stuff. And then hell is the bad place with fire and brimstone and things like that. You know, this is, of course, poetic imagery, but on a deeper sense, if we delve deeper into, for example, the fathers of the church, we'll see that, you know, heaven and hell are rather states of being. So, you know, what is everlasting life, as the Gospel of John says, is to know God and his son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent, right? Is to have this relationship, to have this deep and abiding, loving relationship between the creation, the son or daughter, and the creator, the father, who is God, right? And to have this relationship is to have eternal life, to have this deep joy, which only comes from God the Father. And so, you know, you have this idea that, you know, yes, the end goal is to have a relationship with God. What that looks like, how that will be in the future, how will that be after our death, how will that be after the general resurrection, after at the end of all things, we don't know exactly. And we're not supposed to fixate on that endpoint. Rather, we are to focus on the journey, on the everyday little choices we make of trying to become full human beings, to become true human beings like Christ, right? To come to this up and to grow into the stature of Christ, right? As the Apostle Paul says, right? To become a full human being. And Christ, of course, is the perfect human being. And so, you know, there's this idea of constantly becoming. And because we are trying to become like God, we are trying to kind of cultivate the virtues and to show love like God shows love, because God is infinite, our process of becoming is infinite. You know, our movement towards him is infinite and never ends. And so there is this beauty of this never-ending journey towards what we would call in Greek theosis, you know, to become godlike. And there is this process of becoming in jujitsu, because I don't think I've met anybody who has said, well, you know, not even, you know, like a coral belt or a red belt, you know, a master in jujitsu, that would say, I know everything about jujitsu now, my journey has ended, there's nothing more to learn, right? No one says that. It's always something new. Jiu-jitsu is infinite. There's always new techniques, new permutations of those techniques, new ways of understanding it, new ways of movement. And so there is this never-ending journey. And so many times I've been told by my instructors, like, don't focus on promotion. Don't focus on the belt. Don't focus on the stripe. Focus on your everyday journey. Enjoy the journey. You know, if you're a white belt, enjoy that journey. Don't think about getting to blue belt. You know, if you're a blue belt, don't think about purple. Don't think, you know, it will come with time. It will be a recognition of what you are when your instructor feels that you are at that level. But you should enjoy that journey, because really that's what it is. It is a journey. It is a journey of becoming, and you want to get the full expression of that. In the same way as an Orthodox Christian, we're supposed to enjoy the journey of becoming, you know, full human beings, full Orthodox Christians, right? So this is kind of like my final thought for today. I think that it's a very beautiful kind of, you know, insight that I think Russell Brand, of all people, you know, kind of gleaned from his experience of being promoted and of also kind of delving into this world of jujitsu. It is definitely an experience that I too have had as an Orthodox priest, coming up now to 2 years of doing jujitsu. It's not a very long time compared to other people, but I have learned so much, and I am really struck by the parallels between my spiritual life and the spiritual life that I've grown in the Orthodox world, and also, you know, this beautiful community that is jujitsu. So, you know, of course, I thank all my friends in the jujitsu community and my instructors and professors, you know, for their love and support and their patience and all the work that they do. And of course, my spiritual mentors as well in the Orthodox Church, who give me their love and support as well. So, you know, that's kind of all my thoughts for today. I'm really kind of grateful that I came across this beautiful podcast and this video by Russell Brand. And I'm also really, you know, emboldened by all these different people of all these different walks of life, not just famous people, of course, but lots of different people who are kind of embracing jujitsu as a positive force within their lives, as I have as well. And I also thank Father Thomas, you know, my co-host, who introduced me to this wonderful world and who is in a big part of me getting involved. So I have to, you know, thank him too. Thank you, Father Thomas. And anyways, you know, I hope that we will see Father Thomas soon. I'm going to wrap up this podcast. I hope that all of you enjoyed this kind of discussion and this kind of musings, I guess you could say, or, you know, thoughts that I've tried to provide today. And hopefully, it won't be too long before the next episode. Till then, God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.